Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you have a question you'd like to ask in relationship to our subject today. We're talking about should men be allowed to go into girls' bathrooms, because we're dealing with the city council in Jacksonville, Florida, that's behind closed doors under the fog of the COVID-19 virus. That they're having their meetings and subcommittee meetings behind closed doors. The general public is not present. They've tried to say that it's okay to do it by Zoom. We're going to be talking about that legality in just a moment. We're talking with Raymond Johnson from Biblical Concepts Ministries. We're discussing today this issue, and we want to motivate you to tune in and be involved in what we need to do in the city of Jacksonville to protect the faith and the family, the future of our city. I'm looking at an article, Raymond, that I'm going to take a moment and read an excerpt from for our listeners. It's from the Family Research Council. It's their call to action bulletin. It says, radical liberals are targeting Christians simply for believing that a marriage is between one man and one woman. They want to punish us for living biblical lives, end quote. Further, the article says, innocent Americans of faith are being targeted all across the country for standing up for their biblical beliefs in marriage. And now a wealthy liberal activist is taking matters into his own hands. Anti-marriage activist Tim Gill, and for ladies and gentlemen, for those that are not aware of it, Tim Gill is the founder of the LGBTQ movement across America. Their national charters, and then their state charters and individual county charters. And he's worth about $422 million, not worth, but that's what he's invested in thus far, about $422 million in the last two decades, attempting to stop anything that's called pro-family causes in America, according to this article. And I've got a whole sheaf of documents on Mr. Tim Gill. He is practicing a sodomite lifestyle, and is trying to force that on everyone else across America. And this article says he is now joining with ACLU, activist judges, anti-family extremists, in an attempt to force his radical anti-family agenda on all Americans. If we don't act quickly, we may soon see government bow to the demands of extremists and eradicate religious liberties in our nation, end quote. Now, that might sound pretty dogmatic, but that is a fact, and this is the reason we need to be concerned. Raymond, if you would be kind enough to take a moment and explain something about the bill that's being pushed, and first of all, give a little precursor to that, how we've come to this point, what the past history has been like, is what the past city councils have tried to do, and where we stand. And after you've done that, I believe we've got another caller on the line. We'll entertain that question or comment. After you've given a little further precursor to what we're talking about.
Sure, sure. So for any listeners today that may not know, so this, you know, again, as you mentioned, there's national state organizations that's been pushing this. And, I mean, it's been going on for the last 10, 20 years. But obviously, with the Supreme Court ruling over the same-sex marriage, I mean, that has just put this in supersonic mode. You know, all homosexual rights and these radical laws. So the city council first introduced this in 2012. You know, just had a couple radical members at the time that wanted to try to pass this. It was defeated. We just wasn't ready. And what the local homosexual activists done at that point was they organized very well, and they went out, they recruited candidates, and rhino candidates. They were very well funded. They had the state and local funding. The Jacksonville Coalition for Equality raised $300,000 in 1 year, just in the last year. So these people are very well funded. So they got their candidates elected in the the 2015 and the 2019 elections. So they passed the bill, the HRO, in 2017. And again, they had better, even more RINO pro-homosexual members elected in 2019. And so to this day, they still have the votes to pass this bill. And more than likely, they will, unless we see some interesting things happen tonight, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Raymond, let me interject this while you're saying that. Our listeners may not have grasped what you just said. Ladies and gentlemen, what was just stated, and he is exactly right, we have city council members today that are seated making decisions for the future of our city that were bought and paid for by the sodomite dollars placed into their campaign coffers that helped them get elected. Now that's payback time. Here, the sodomite movement, the LGBTQ movement, I simply use God's term and God's word. 38 times the word sodomy and sodomites mentioned. You don't find the word gay. You don't find the word transsexual or lesbian or homosexual. It's sodomites. And it's the sodomite candidates that were elected that's now it's payback time. And the LGBTQ agenda is wanting them to vote for this bill. And some of them, ladies and gentlemen, are Republicans that were put in there on the basis that they're Republicans that's going to vote conservative and for what's best for the family and for the future of our city. Raymond, if you would continue for just a moment, and then I believe we have another caller on.
Right. So, well, if I could, I think the best thing I could do with this time, because before we end the program, I want to move on to another subject that's happening today as far as the council elections for president. But in regards to this, here's the bottom line. They need to hear from you, okay? We cannot even – this is so wrong that they are trying to shove this through when people cannot even participate. However, there is means to do that, but it's very difficult to get people to do this. So I want to urge you, number one, contact city council. Very simple. Go to truth4jax.com. So that's our website. It'll explain everything that's going on and details about HRO. As soon as you go to the home page, you will see contact city council, and I post the HRO. Click that button. It'll take you to a page where it's an automated email system. All you have to do is put in your name, your zip code, your email address, and you click send, and it will send a pre-scripted email to all 19 council members. And we want to know exactly how many people are emailing the council, and we will remind them. You can't say that we didn't do it, because hundreds already are. So that's why it's important to use this option here. And so truth4jax.com. And there
that's T-R-U-T-H. Raymond, let's clarify that for our listeners. It's T-R-U-T-H and then the letter 4, jax.com.
Correct. The number 4, truth4jax.com. And my final thing before we get to your caller would be to simply say, look, you can participate. There are instructions on that website. You can go to Biblical Concepts Ministries or Let's Face the Issue Facebook page. See very specific instructions. It's really not that hard. Zoom.com. Click join a meeting. It's right, very accessible on the front page. And all you have to do is put in a passcode and a username or whatever. Those codes are provided. There's two codes, and you're watching it right on your computer. And there are ways to speak. I guess they're seeing who's there, and that's a little more difficult, but you can speak. Or the information's there to email, a specific email to put in your public comment for the public hearing. There's a public hearing tonight. Now, let me make this clear. This is the only opportunity tonight that we will have to speak. And it'll be very difficult to get people online to actually go through all these very highly technical, ways of doing this. So it's important that take a moment. It was not that hard to go on and join that meeting tonight. Because trust me, their side, or they're computer savvy, and they're well organized, and they've got plenty of funding for paid people, and they're involved. So we need your listeners to please join us on that tonight. Truth for
Jack. Right. Well, Raymond, hold on. Don't leave us. And I believe we have another caller who gave you the question or comment, please.
I was calling about this whole order. I find it very offensive, disrespectful, since I live with an elderly father-in-law who's a registered sex offender, but I'm supposed to be okay with men going to the bathroom with little girls, but my son can't have friends over because there's parents out here who do research before they allow their children to go to other people's houses.
I found what you're saying to be staggering, because what you're saying is that we're wanting to say that it's okay by legislation for men to just walk in little girls' bathrooms and for our schools to have shower rooms and locker rooms and dressing rooms where boys that feel that they are female, it is the gender identity that they feel a particular way that they can go into any bathroom. It's antithetical to anything that would be called morals and ethics and values and truthfulness. It is so antithetical to what we think would be right or wrong. In fact, you're exactly right. I believe that we need to have our listeners today stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and say enough is enough. And if nothing else, blasting city council with telephone calls. In fact, call your city councilman, the one that's in your district, call them and say, please cease and desist this moving forward with Bill 2020-2244. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Thank you so much for your call and for your insights on what has just been said. You're exactly right, and we so much appreciate your call. And thank you, and God bless you today. Raymond, let me say this for our listeners to understand. And I understand what you've just said, and I'm not in dispute with that. They can go online. They can go online and find that, how would you say, the link. But about 98% of our folks in our city are not even aware that this is taking place. I'm going to say 98% or better. Not even aware that this bill is being pushed. And the small percentage that are aware of it cannot go to a meeting. Now, here's where I want to go, Raymond, for a moment for our listeners. I'm looking at an article that says the open meetings law. Florida's government and sunshine law passed in 1967 requires that all meetings of any state, county, or municipality, a board, or commission be open to the general public and mandates that any official action taken at the closed meeting not binding, according to Florida Statute 286.011 and then updated in 1995. The legislature intended to make open the entire decision-making process for the enactment of the Sunshine Law. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sunshine Law, you can Google that. It is florida.gov, and you can go to it and find the Sunshine Law. And what the city council is doing in Duval County in Jacksonville, Florida, as we speak, I contend is illegal. They are illegally carrying out the promulgation and the pushing forward to an ultimate vote of a bill. And according to the Sunshine Law, it cannot be done unless the general public can attend. Now, I'm sure, and Jason Gabriel, the chief general counsel of the city of Jacksonville, the chief attorney, is saying that they can do so as long as they make it available somehow online. That is not what the Sunshine Law says, and his observation and his opinion, that is Jason Gabriel, the chief general counsel's opinion, is simply an opinion. He is not a final judge, and the judges have adjudicated based on the legislation passed in 1967, updated and modified in 1995. They have adjudicated, made the determination that it cannot be in any way but in person. So, Raymond, what I want our listeners to understand, yes, if you can get a link and get in line to talk, but I can tell you what's happening. The sodomites, the LGBTQ agenda, they will jam the circuits and make it impossible for anybody to be seen or heard from or being able to speak in any of these meetings. The meetings must be carried. I say to our city council, and I'm pleading with our listeners today, to bombard city council's telephone numbers, the city council's individual numbers, and their office numbers, and demand quietly, demand personally, demand powerfully, but demand that they cease and desist moving forward with any vote on Council Bill 2020-244, simply because it's an illegal act. If they pass the bill and it is approved in city council, we as the citizens need to file a class action suit to have it overturned and reversed based on the Sunshine Law. Now, Raymond, there's another event that's taking place, I believe, at 3 o'clock this afternoon with the city council that our people need, our listeners need to understand. What's happening at 3 o'clock today?
So thank you for going into that conversation. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling how much extremely important stuff is happening today, right in the middle of, I mean, just two big things going on, you know, in the middle of the, well, the plandemic, as I always say. So we're not even meeting and able to be involved. But so today, on an annual basis, the city council members, they vote amongst themselves to elect a council president and vice president, just like many, you know, organizations would. So right now, Tommy Hazzuri, liberal Democrat, career politician, pro-LGBT front man for the HRO and homosexual rights activists, I mean, big buddy of this radical LGBT group. He is the vice president of, unfortunately. So, I mean, this has already been going on for a year because he was elected vice president last year. Well, he is running for president of the council. And apparently, all the way back at the end of last year, he made that clear. And he went out and got all the council to agree, or many of them to agree to elect him. But Danny Becton, conservative Republican, who would make a fine council president, has filed or made it clear that announced that he's going to run for president as well. But the problem is we have an overwhelming majority, about a two-third majority Republican council out of 19 members. Literally about two-thirds are Republicans, or let me say there's about four or five Republicans and a whole bunch of rhinos that should be registered as Democrats. That's become the new wave, the new thing. But at any rate, the council president election is going to take place tonight. This afternoon. It actually is at 3 o'clock today. And again, that's on the Zoom, so you can't go to City Hall or anything. But let me give you the background of some, not all the Republican members, but some of them, are why this is happening. You may remember, and again, all this information, I've posted so many things on both the Let's Face the Issues and Biblical Concepts Ministries page. So go and read what we've put out, the information, all this stuff, and with the council info. But what happened was, in last year's local elections, when the mayor's race was up, you had Anna Broche, who was a rhino Republican, but running a Democratic campaign. So, of course, what Lenny Curry strategically wanted to do was have Tommy Hazzuri, who unfortunately, the guy's been around in office for 30 or 40 years, literally. I don't think he's ever had a private sector job, okay? He has served on the council, served as mayor, served in the state representative, served on the school board, back to the city council, and so now he's about to become city council president. Again, now the council president is a very important position. They appoint committees. All those 19 members are divided up and appointed into four, five, six different committees, rules committee, finance committee, land use and zoning, and things of this nature. So, it's very important. And these are how bills get, passed or dropped or whatever. But the guy's been around forever, and he does have, unfortunately, a following, a lot of older senior citizens that are unaware of the change in Tommy Hazzuri. I personally believe, on a side note, that Tommy Hazzuri is just what the Bible warns us of, that there will be those that have had their consciences seared with a hot iron and turned their minds turned over to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
I really, truly believe.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Raymond. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
This is me. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Derby.
Yeah, Derby, go ahead with your question or comment.
OK. Hey, what is happening about Republicans supporting a Democrat for any position dates back to when Lenny Kerry, mayor, did not endorse a Republican for city council and endorsed Tommy Azzurri for that seat. And there was no consequences for Lenny Kerry. So the councilmen now believe nothing will happen to them either. So they go ahead and vote for Democrat principles instead of supporting the Republicans that, who elected them. And one thing very important, after Lenny Kerry did not support the Republican, he supported Azzurri, I went before the REC and said we should censure Lenny Kerry. Well, I was shouted down by the chairman and many other members, and nothing happens. I thought I was That's Trump right. at an Antifa meeting. That was me against the REC. So when there's no consequence for Republicans who vote Democrat, they'll continue to do it. That's
yes,
not a
you're
problem.
Exactly right, and that's the reason we need to take a stand as Christians, first and foremost, as conservatives, and then if we categorize that as Republicans, we need to be careful as to who we vote for and who we put in office, because we're watching the end result of our votes today. We're watching it as we speak. And you're exactly right, because there's seemingly been no consequences in the past. Then there's the mindset that the some of our Republican leadership in the city council can vote willy-nilly however they like. And we've got to just simply, as conservatives and as Christians, we've got to embrace it and like it. And there's nothing that we can do about it in their opinions. And I believe that you're exactly right. What are the thoughts you have very quickly before we go back to Raymond?
Well, we just have to unseat those rhinos. We have
Amen.
Too many in the federal government and local and state government. So
yes,
I am tired of the rhinos. I'd rather have an honest Democrat than a rhino, because a rhino is a traitor.
Yes, I'm in agreement with that. Thank you so much for your input, for the dialogue and discussion. Keep on doing, carrying out the good work. Call all the city councilmen that you can and say we need to be very careful on how we vote today. Raymond,
right.
go ahead with your thought, please.
Thank you. Well, he's right. That's exactly the problem. And I wrote in my email to the council, my personal email that I've posted as well to the city to the Republican council members. Basically, the old saying, "We will remember in November." And but back to the thought, just briefly. I know we're getting close on time here. So he was. That Derby was trying to say was exactly what I was about to say, that there was a trade-off in last year's election between Councilman Azzurri and Lenny Kerry. So you saw the commercial. I've reposted the commercial on the Facebook, where you can go back and see the old campaign ad where Tommy Azzurri was proudly endorsing Mayor Kerry. And the trade-off was that this year Mayor Kerry would encourage the Republicans to vote for him for president or just stay out of it, whatever the deal was. But there's quite a love relationship there. And so the mayor is kind of staying out of it. He's gave friendly words to Azzurri, during this campaign things or this election process. So that's kind of why you're seeing this. These are just the normal political pressure tactics. I'm not saying that every yeah. Republican is voting for that, but I want to encourage, for that reason, but I want to encourage you again, this is the issue that they're voting on in just a few hours at 3 p.m. So hurry up, 12:30, get on the phone. I was 15 minutes late calling into your show because I was literally on the phone with my councilman, and they're not changing their mind. I spoke to a councilman on Sunday and my councilman this morning. And I'm not finding very many that's changing their mind. So,
Raymond, hang on to that thought for just one minute, and let's let our listeners understand mm-hmm. something a little further. Ladies and gentlemen, this HRO, Human Reprobate Ordinance, Bill 2020-244, if that passes, the city of Jacksonville, every Christian business, every conservative business would be put in the crosshairs of jeopardy. If they have a Christian business and the Christian businessman, and most businesses have bathrooms that the public can come in, if someone goes in that bathroom and it happens to be a man that goes into a lady's bathroom and violates a woman or a little girl, then that businessman is responsible, but yet he's under the gun with this new legislation if it passes. For example, let me just give you a further example of that, Raymond, for our listeners to understand. There's a case right now that's waiting for the Supreme Court to adjudicate. It's a case of a major funeral director and multiple funeral homes that he owned and operates in Michigan. And one of his key leaders that had worked with him for about 7 or 8 years walked in one Monday dressed in high-heeled shoes, a miniskirt, and a wig on, and said that he had become a she, and the owner of the business said, "You can't do that." And as a result of that, there was a haranguing for a while, and then finally that person was fired, and that person then filed suit against the business owner, the funeral director, the owner of the business, because he was fired. But the whole point was that he wanted to make a transition, and he wanted the company that he worked for to embrace and to approve and to celebrate his, quote, gender identity transition. And ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place across our nation. We do not need that shenanigans in Jacksonville, Florida. Recently in Jacksonville, a photographer, a Christian photographer, was chided and challenged and is now being pressured because he said no to a sodomite wedding. In Seattle, Washington, a dear grandmother's been under persecution and prosecution for 8 years because she refused to make a flower arrangement for a sodomite wedding. A cake baker in Colorado has faced the hounds of the LGBTQ organization because he refused to bake a cake for a sodomite wedding. We don't need that in Jacksonville, Florida. But foremost is the fact that every bathroom door will be flung open, all showers, all locker rooms. Girls and women, our mothers and our grandmothers, will not be safe. Raymond, we got about 45 seconds. If you would wrap up with a call to action for our listeners today.
Right. So, and thank you again for the opportunity. I would suggest please contact City Council today. Tell them to vote for Danny Becton for council president and vote no on the HRO. And again, that's truth4jax.com, truth4jax.com. Everything you need is there. As the old guy used to say, do it now and do it today.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we pray that you'll be found faithful. Let's obey God rather than government in this sense. Let's say no to any HRO in Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
2021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.